Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Pitching coach Tommy Hottovee of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hottovee, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. Good, I was answer. A finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was to, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hottovee, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mully and Hall.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hottovee on 670 The Score.
Tommy!
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Leila Rahimi in for Mully today, and we're pleased to welcome Tommy Hottovee, our regular guest here on the show, to the program. And Tommy joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. It is a fun day to be a Cubs fan, and I have to think that you, like many Cubs fans, when you're sitting there last night and watching Progressive Field and seeing the Cubs on the same turf where they won the 2016 World Series, I would imagine, even though you played the Indians in 2018, it is still a trip down memory lane. What were your emotions like going back into that ballpark, and how much reminiscing did you do before the action?
You know, anytime you get a chance to go to that ballpark, and we kind of talked last night, a few of us, just about ballparks in general you go to throughout your career and what they mean, you know, and what they mean to you, and a lot of it's tied to those good memories, and it's no different obviously for us, you know, here in Cleveland, and the way the game started yesterday with that first pitch of the game, that tapper to KB who's playing in and kind of comes across the infield like that, it was almost like deja vu, like we'd seen that obviously we've seen that play before. Luckily for us, 4 years ago, he made a little better throw to first base. You know, Rizzo had to dig it out last night. But, I mean, we're all thinking that same thing. It was just amazing to get to see that. And then the flood of those memories started coming back. So, absolutely, fun to be here and be able to kind of rehash some of those memories we had from, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah, Tommy, it was definitely shades of 2016 when we all saw that out. But the ball was also down, which is a nice thing to see. And you can't say enough about what John Lester has done this season. He has just made it look so easy. And even the individual games, it's not just the numbers, but how the one run was allowed in the sixth, you know, times through the order, of course, mattering there. But how do you put into words what he's been able to do and how he's been able to do it, just making everything look so simple, when as a veteran, there were questions going in as to whether or not Lester would still have gas in the tank. He is proving it day in and day out.
You know, absolutely. I think, you know, seeing what he's been able to do, not only, you know, through the shutdown and the quarantine that we had, you know, before the season started, and how he tried to manage his throws and all the things we wanted to do to get him, you know, into the season and feeling good and feeling healthy. But, you know, as the game has evolved, it's easy for pitchers to kind of like, you know, kind of want to do more, kind of want to move the ball around more and do different things. And sometimes that works out, you know, and you match up to the right teams and that works. But it's really important in this game to focus on what's given you success in the past too. And sometimes you have to hit that reset button to get back to it. And one thing I'll give credit to, you know, to John is he really, really has worked hard at getting his angle back, recreating some of that angle and that, that John Lester drive kind of down in the strike zone that he had earlier in his career. And you know, what you're starting to see are those early weak swings, the pulled foul balls by righties, the choppers into the ground, those types of things. When you see that angle he's creating, it really, really makes a big difference for him. And then you add in the fact that he's also, you know, mixing in his changeup more, and he's able to pitch backwards a little bit more and do those things. And it's fun to watch. He's a veteran guy and been in some of the biggest games, you know, around. And when he's on a roll like this, he's obviously a guy you want on the bump and in good spots.
Tommy, athletes are creatures of habit, kind of slaves to protocol. And your pitchers have had to deal with, you know, a time off here that was because of the Cardinals series, 4 days of rest. You had to reconfigure your pitching rotation. I think John Lester said yesterday he flew into during the day of the game for the first time since AAA. There's some real difficult circumstances that are fluid, and you have to be adaptable. What's the prevailing message that you tell your guys, whether you're moving them in the rotation or dealing with the uncertainty of the schedule? What is the thing that you tell them to focus on the most, and how do you avoid not letting those things get in the way of their focus?
You know, when you have something taken away from you that you love, and we all had that, you know, to start the season, you know, even the people that talk about the grind of the 162 game season, when you have that taken away from you, it's, you don't want to take things for granted anymore. And I think what we talk about and what I see with these guys this year is their love for the game, the willingness to do whatever they have to do to win every single night, and just the love to get to come to the ballpark every day. So when it is little things like, you know, John, a veteran pitcher, having to fly out the morning of his flight and handling it the way he handled it, you know, having guys start shifting around and things move, we're just taking this in stride, and we're taking this day to day, and we're communicating with them on, you know, what we think is best for them, what we think is best for the team, and being able to move it around. And, you know, we had guys over the 3 days this weekend throw bullpens. We had a few guys pitching sim games, trying to match out, you know, match up how they've done and how many games they've pitched and who needed work and all those things, and just communicating and then trying to make it fun, you know, in the same process. And these guys are really, you know, I've commended them just on the work they put in, but also just the mindset that they had to come to the park every day with that joy and that love of the game, and you know, very appreciative of what we get to do right now during this time.
Tommy, last night, not just nice because of Lester's six innings, but then what happened after that. Bullpen deserves a little love because you had Ryan Tepera and then Colin Ray. No walks, only one hit between the two of them in those next three innings. How can you build on that knowing you didn't use a ton of arms and you're moving forward against a Cleveland team that can swing the bat top to bottom in that lineup?
Yeah, we, you know, all of our guys out there, the work they're putting in, we continue to see progress with everybody. And I think, you know, as we continue this season and we keep gaining confidence, I think you're going to see some guys really step up out there. Getting to see, you know, Colin Ray pitch again last night and getting him to that two innings and the importance of, you know, keeping him as stretched out as we possibly can. I think people saw the stuff that he had in that one inning stint with KC, but also the value a guy like that can bring, that can give us some length when we need to. So as much as we want to get as many guys worked as we can in those situations, we also, you know, for those guys, we need to make sure that we can keep them, you know, their pitch counts stretched out and things, so we have them available for games that, you know, may happen later, either an early start, a doubleheader day, you know, which we may have, you know, coming up soon too. So, yeah, it was great. It's good to see those guys continuing to improve and continuing to work, and the results are, you know, are going to show.
Tommy, David Ross talked about the progress he saw in Craig Kimbrell during the Sunday scrimmage. He had two strikeouts and allowed a hit in 11 pitches, and he referenced some changes, some tweaks to the mechanics. And I'm curious, because a guy as accomplished and proud as Kimbrell is, at this stage of his career, you see these discussions and conversations about his mechanical adjustments. How do players – is this an ongoing thing with guys that they always are going to be making these mechanical adjustments? Because at this point of his career, you would think that there would be a repeatable thing that he would lean on, or how would you describe what he's going through right now and how common it is?
It's, you know, it's extremely common. I think any time, especially in a season or an off season where you don't get as much work in as you need to, and there's no knock on him. I think he works really hard. I think just in general, there were off seasons where I felt like I had to retrain my arm stroke. You know, it just didn't feel right. Something was off, you know, like you have to constantly do it. Or even the veteran guys that, you know, the John Lesters, the Darvish, you know, those Hendricks, things we're constantly monitoring to make sure that we're, you know, focused on the things mechanically that make him the best version of himself. And the other part of it too is, as guys, you know, veteran guys, especially as they get older and they have cues and mechanical things they work on, well, maybe their body doesn't move quite the same way. You know, maybe one little thing, maybe they lose a tiny bit of flexibility in, you know, their lower back or their hamstring or their, you know, their hips or things like that. You know, you have to constantly be tweaking those as well. And when you don't, we didn't get a chance to get eyes on guys very much during that quarantine. We had pitch data, and we could see, even in the pitch data, when he was playing catch as he was getting ready to come to that summer camp, we could tell, you know, the slot was a little off. So we kind of had an idea going into it where it was, but we didn't have, like, the eyes on him that we did once we got to summer camp. So by that point, you're juggling, okay, let's get him in the routine he needs to get to the season, but also get him the work and the mechanical things, the adjustments he needs to make, you know, to be the best version of himself. And you know, one thing we all do when you're trying to get ready for the season, the number one thing that you look up to is the radar gun. You know, how's the velo? And then you start chasing velo, and maybe you do things mechanically that you think are helping you, but are really, you know, deterring you, maybe give you velocity, but maybe you lose some of that movement that you need, that some of that vertical ride or some of that deception that makes you better version of yourself. So, you know, I think what we saw the other day from Craig, especially in that same game, was just a much more controlled version. Did a great job of kind of staying over the rubber, and in a game where, you know, he could control those emotions, and obviously when you're playing against your own team, you know, it's, that game doesn't mean anything, but the positives of doing the things that he's working on mechanically, and then to see the pitch movement, see the velocity still be the same, just reassures the player that you don't have to do too much when you are under control and make sure you get your hands in the right position at release. So many good things can happen. And I think when you're searching and when you're in a season, you don't have that time to work on or to back off and, non-leverage situations, you keep searching, you keep reaching, and it was a good opportunity for him and a good outing, you know, for sure, something to build off of.
If there's one takeaway I have from this impromptu coaching session, it is that less is more this morning. But in Kyle Hendricks's case, it also is translating to more innings. I know he threw 7, had a very nice outing against the Royals, ended up with just 2 runs allowed in that one. A nice rebound for him after the Reds game. He goes into this Indians game, first time since game 7. What are you expecting to see out of Hendricks? It sounds like that Cincinnati game, Tommy, was just an aberration.
Yeah, we like to think so, just with what you believe Kyle can do every night out. And even if there is a blip on the radar, you know what he's going to bring to the table for your team, you know, night in, night out when he's you know, on that lineup card. I expect to see a very similar version of what we've seen, you know, against the Royals and earlier in the year. Kyle's work is in between starts is as good as it gets. His routine is locked in. I think he feels great, and it's going to be cool to see him on that mound again. I believe for the first time since Game 7. So he's in a great spot. We're looking forward to get him out there and just continue to roll. And again, just getting to see these guys feed off each other from one start to the next and how they communicate. With the new rules with the dugouts and how many people you can have in there and how separated you have to be, it's been pretty interesting to see the starters kind of congregate together in this, like, auxiliary dugouts, still with the team, but also how they congregate and they sit there and they talk during the games and the conversations they have, I know, are benefiting each other and continuing to get better as a group.
That'd be a good podcast, Tommy. Maybe you could record one of those conversations for us. Maybe play it next week. You could have the starters pitching. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or at least have somewhere fans can call in and ask questions during the game.
That'd be great. Thanks. Hired. We approve. Tommy, thanks so much. Stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy your time in Cleveland.
I appreciate it, guys. You too. Thank you.
Good stuff. Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, who joins us from Cleveland, talking about Kyle Hendricks starting tonight back at the scene of his Game 7 glory in 2016 for the first time. That will be fun to watch. It'll be right here on The Score tonight. And we will be shifting gears next. Layla Rahimi, we will be talking hockey with Charlie Roumeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago. What went wrong for the Blackhawks against the Golden Knights in Game 1 of the Western Conference playoffs? We will find out next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
670 The Score is Chicago sports. And for nearly three decades, Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Chicago's number one sports station in 1992. And still number one today. A radio.com sports station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.